Das ist Ihre Millionenchance. Jetzt im Lotto-Jackpot. 31 Millionen Euro. 31 Millionen Euro.
Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bijuk.de.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
You ain't gotta tell me. It's just in my nature to take it like a taker. 'Cause baby, I'm a giver.
You don't need to help me. 'Cause baby, I deliver.
Ain't no country for a quitter.
No, 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 what? No. Ain't no country boy quitter.
Ain't no country boy quitter.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I get the job done.
I like to issue a formal apology for not knowing the lyrics to a song that Chapel Room famously performed on SNL months and months and months and months ago. I have plenty of time to learn the lyrics.
Yeah, literally. What the fuck?
Humiliating. But when Subway comes out, I'm prepared. I've got Subway.
I'm ready for Subway.
Yeah, I'm there. She's got away.
I get the job.
Hi, everyone.
Done.
Happy Wednesday. Welcome back to our podcast. My name is Ian Allred. Happy St. Patrick's Day. My family, we're 2% Irish, but we claim that 2% with our whole hearts to a degree that's embarrassing. And I'm a Gleek.
Hey, everyone. I don't think I'm Irish at all, but I love the Irish. And I'm a Gleek.
On Princess Cruises. Maybe you've heard of them. Weirdly, whoa. Okay, two thoughts here. First, I'll say my first thought, which is they have on some of the ships, they have like a little Irish pub restaurant. And they will always have an Irish band that plays at the pub. And my friend Maeve, she was the fiddler for the band, and she would always talk about, she's like, every show without fail, some American will come up to me and be like, my great grandparents came from Ireland. And I'm like, cool. And I don't think I ever told her this, but I'm like, that's literally my family.
Yeah.
Like, we are so into, because my mom's side of the family, like, has an Irish last name. Mm-hmm. So they take a lot of pride in it. But realistically, it's just like my mom is the daughter of the son of the son of the son of the man who came over from Ireland. Yeah. So the name got passed down, but we are not Irish by any stretch of the imagination.
I love Ireland.
Hey. My other like weird princess thing is last night, St. Patrick's Day, we went out to celebrate the holiday. And we were talking to my cast member's boyfriend, and he was talking about how he has to leave for work. He's gone like a few days every month for work because he works for Princess Cruises. And I said, what? And we were talking, and he's the guest soloist on one of the ships that I was a year ago. He's their current guest soloist. And four of the people in his cast are people that were on my first
show. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He loves that.
Small world.
Small world.
And just like, we ran into each other in a bar in Virginia because he's dating my castmate.
I love that.
Weird.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm like, I don't know. I'm turning 30 in a few weeks and I'm feeling every which way
about that. Yeah.
I like everything that happens. I find a way to be like, I'm 30 and what have I done with my life? Which is like so annoying. But realistically, I'm actually fine and I'm just being over dramatic.
I hear you though. I think those are completely valid. I think that's a completely valid feeling. Like grappling with your mortality is so fucked and I don't think you're being over dramatic.
Oh, how are you?
I'm okay. Today is the anniversary of my dad's passing, so I'm feeling a lot, but I'm definitely feeling okay, which is good.
Yeah.
And I got to celebrate, not a day to celebrate, swear to God, but I think Suzanne Collins knew I needed a win. So I door busted for Sunrise on the Reaping. So I'm holding it. This is me knocking on the book for the listeners, but so I'm excited to read that. But I'm feeling grateful. I'm feeling, if I can, I'd love to,
Yes, of course.
I feel, sometimes I feel really guilty. Me and my dad, we fought like nobody's business. Like we just like did not see eye to eye on anything. He and I completely like disagreed on politics. We completely like every movie I ever loved, he hated. Every movie was like we had to like, especially, you know, like Star Wars movies were such a huge thing in our family. And every single one that I loved, he hated. Every single one that I hated, he told me I was stupid for not loving. He never told me I was stupid. But we just like did not see eye to eye. We were really raised in really two different worlds and had really two different world views. And so we like fought, oh my God, so much. And it makes me feel guilty sometimes because I like wish I could go back and change things and be nicer to him or listen to him more. But I was talking to a friend the other day and I just like, and she was, and I was telling her about that. And she was like, well, did you ever like, did he make you feel loved? And that's one thing I love so much about my dad is that even when I was such a cunt to him and like was yelling at him all the time, and I don't take back a lot of the things that we fought about. Like there were some things that I really like, I'm pretty steadfast on, but like, I like wouldn't, you know, anyway, but other things that I was like maybe off base with, he never made me feel like not like the most lucky girl in the world. He was such a loving dad and he was such a, he always made me feel loved even with like all the troubles we had and even with all the things we had gone through, he always made me feel loved. And I just shout out to my dad. I miss you a lot. And I can't believe it's been, can you believe it's been a whole year? Like I feel like I know, so much crazy. Has happened and, I just miss him and, he loved this podcast, so any chance I can talk about him, I feel like it's special to do it here. So shout out to the girlies too, the oldest daughters who fight with their dads all the time. But yeah. So I'm feeling a lot of things, but I feel really loved. So
that was a very beautiful tribute. That was really, really lovely.
Thanks. I miss him. I love you too. I really miss him. Ugh. She asked me that, like my friend, she asked me that question. I was like, oh my God, you have unlocked something like, in my heart. Like,
you should write a book.
No, seriously. She was really insightful. She also, she lost her father as well. And so I feel like, you know, and I've said this a bunch, I feel like I keep connecting with people and finding like these like, you know, strings in humanity that like connect all of us together. Mm-hmm. And that was a really beautiful moment. And I had to say that publicly because it really unlocked something in my heart. Anyway, podcasting.
No, that was beautiful. Thank you for saying that. That was really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
Podcasting.
I know that's such a... I'm sorry.
You're okay. No, don't apologize for it. Goodness.
You're right. I'm not sorry. That's a goal of mine this year, just to stop apologizing. So I'm not sorry. Good. Thank you for listening. That's what I'll say is thank you for listening.
There you go. That's good. And you're welcome. And it was my pleasure. Podcasting. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. We have decided what we're doing next. It's official. Mm-hmm. It has been announced on our Patreon in our little before the show chat that we always do. Mm-hmm. We have not announced it publicly because we just want to make sure we have all of our logistics ducks in a row. Yeah. We don't want to like put the cart before the horse. Mostly like we don't want to make an announcement and not have a date and not have like an official title and all of that stuff. So, but we want you to know we're not just like shooting the shit and not doing anything. Yeah. We do know what's coming and it is coming soon.
Shit is moving. Yeah.
Shit is moving. But in the meantime, we are shooting the shit and just,
and I love to chat
on here for a few weeks.
I love to chat.
Hey, but watch this space, watch our socials. In the next little bit, we will have official information about what's coming, and then said thing will actually
honestly,
happen.
Y'all, I'm serious, get excited. If you're not excited, you need to get excited, because I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Yee! Oh, anyways, wow.
Wow.
Hi.
Hi.
We do have exciting things to talk about besides this cryptic announcement that we're not going to make right now. And said exciting things are, we're supposed to talk about Mayhem.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you loving it? Or are you loving it?
I am loving it.
Okay, good.
I'm really loving it.
Me too. I'll to take you to the Garden of Eden. What are your favorites so far?
My parents are coming next week to see my show, and they're getting here on Sunday and they're seeing the show on Friday. So they're here like the whole week. Uh-huh. And my dad wants to do, an American history road trip. Where we're going to like drive around
and
to like
shout
historical
out to
sites
your dad. That's
in Virginia.
Awesome.
Hey, and I keep listening to Mayhem and being like, so which of these songs am I going to make my parents listen to in the car? I like have it all planned out that I'm like, what queer music and I'm going to make them listen to while we're driving.
I love that.
Anyways, what are the songs that I am playing for my parents? Let's find out. My favorites on the album, I like Disease. I know when Disease was released as a single, everyone was like, this isn't Lady Gaga and what's going on?
No, I've been a Disease truther.
I liked it from the beginning.
Me too.
Abracadabra, everyone loved, and they were right to love. It's great.
Of course.
Zombie Boy is my favorite song of the album.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, I love put your paws all over me, you zombie boy. I love Zombie Boy. Killa, weirdly, did not stand out to me until the SNL performance, and then I went, oh, I need to wait a second.
What the hell is that?
I think I maybe missed something here.
I can fuck with that. I can fuck with that.
I like Killa a lot. I like Garden of Eden a lot. Mm-hmm. I like Perfect Celebrity. Frankly, the first half of the album, bangers, 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 bangers. Second half of the album, bangers, bangers. Mm-hmm. As in, I think the whole album is good.
Yes.
But I am partial to the first half.
I hear you.
And everyone's saying this, and I do want to say that everyone is right. How Bad Do You Want Me is a very good song. It does sound so much like a Taylor Swift song, which is not enough because Taylor Swift writes great music.
Yeah.
But every time I listen to it, I'm like, this is Taylor Swift.
I love that song. Psychotic love theme, how bad do you want me? I love that song. A, you know me, I love Taylor Swift. But B, she talked about it on Las Culturistas, Lady Gaga did.
Yes, yes.
And she was like, it's just the song about like how every like relationship I've ever been in, like, the idea of me in their head is like never who they're like, that's just not me. Like the good girl in your head. Like she wishes she was me. Like I'm, you know, and she said that and I was like, oh my God. Like, I totally get
I
that.
Loved that interview.
Me too.
I loved one, her talking about how some of the songs she writes, she has to write as if she's writing for a different person.
Yes.
And then perform them as a pretend person. Cause she's like, I love to write these songs that are these like uber confident, powerful women. But like, I, a lot of the times don't feel that way about myself.
Yeah. I love
and
that.
And so I just have to play a character when I perform the song.
I love that. Oh my God. Obsessed. I love you, Lady Gaga. Oh! My favorites are, and you know me, I need to dance. So I love Garden of Eden. I love Perfect Celebrity. I love Killa. I love Zombie Boy. And then Shadow of a Man makes me feel like I'm being possessed by like by the ghost of dance. It's seriously, oh my God, that song, like, it gets in my bones, and I'm like, yeah, I have to dance. Oh my God. It seriously is so good. I love this like grooviness that is all throughout this album. I love to dance. It feels healing to me. I also love How Bad Do You Want Me? All of it. But yeah.
I can't.
But Shadow of a Man was probably my initial favorite. And then
I need to give it another listen.
Oh, you gotta.
I
feel tempted to stop recording right now so we can listen to it and then resume. Yeah.
I keep listening to the album while I'm at the gym, which is good because it, you know, helps motivate the workout. But mm-hmm. then also, I hate exercising.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I am not paying attention. Like, my brain is just so like, how do people do this? I'm going to die.
Yeah.
That like I can't actually listen to the music.
I hear you.
That's playing.
I hear you.
So, hey.
I hear you.
Hey.
Yeah. Give that one another listen. Shout out Lady Gaga. I just love her so much. Something she said that really struck a chord with me in the Las Culturistas interview was she was like, I used to be a student of fame and now I just really want to make people happy. She's like, that's what I'm on earth to do. And I just love that so much. And I think that's just such a noble cause, like bring joy to people mm-hmm. and make a safe space for people. And she's just an inspiration of mine in that way. I just love her. So
yeah,
shout out awesome. Stephanie Germanotta. You will always be famous in this household.
You will always her. Be famous. You already know this because I was texting you about it nonstop. My week in pop culture is, yes, I listened to Mayhem and it was great. And yes, I listened to The Giver by Chappelle Roan and it was mm-hmm. great. Of course. Yes, I watched White Lotus. I did all those things. I rediscovered, because I was sick all last week. Longtime fans of the podcast will remember that last week I was famously very sick and I couldn't talk.
Sick as a dog.
And I like spent multiple days not leaving my room and trying to not speak to a soul so I could get my voice back. It was horrid. But in that time, I watched so many movies. Mm-hmm. And I watched Reefer Madness.
Yes.
The musical, the movie musical. A movie I have not watched in like 11 years. And it genuinely unlocked something in me that I can't lock back up.
I love that.
I have been listening to Reefer Madness. I have listened to specifically Mary Jane and Mary Lane. I think I listened to it 7 times yesterday.
Oh, like, I love
it
that.
It is getting bad. And no one knows that show. And y'all need to get into it. It's so good. I love that show so much.
I love that.
And I didn't know about this. Which is embarrassing for me because I would have tried to go see it because I love this show. They did a 25th anniversary production in LA last summer. And Kristen Bell, Kay Bell, was one of the producers. For those of you who don't know, Kristen Bell, her like second ever professional job was she was Mary Lane in Reefer Madness, the musical off Broadway back in 2001. She like dropped out of NYU to do Tom Sawyer, the musical with our former coworker. And that famously did not last very long. And then she did Reefer Madness. So it's like, you know, one of the first things she ever did. And she and Christian Campbell, who was Jimmy in it, were two of the producers of the 25th anniversary version. But what I thought was so cool is one of the weekends, the girl playing Mary, like something came up. They didn't really say what happened, but essentially like she couldn't go on. And for whatever reason, they didn't have enough coverage and they were going to have to cancel the show. And then Kristen Bell was like, well, I could do it. And so 25 years later, she, for one weekend, played Mary Lane in L.A.
I think
that's cool as hell.
I love her.
That's so fun.
That's really cool.
I love Kristen Bell. The movie rocks. That show rocks. Mm-hmm. It's on Tubi. You can watch it with ads. That's what I did.
I'm always watching shit with ads. That's awesome.
Hey.
Yeah, people should check it out. It's really fun.
Now that Alan Cumming is a household name,
Alan Cumming's in it as well.
Anna Gasteyer's in it. It's mm-hmm. so good. Amy Spanger, which is underground. Not a lot of people know Amy Spanger, but Amy Spanger's in it. She rocks. It's a great movie.
I love that.
It's a great movie. A lot of my, like, sorry, now I'm just, like, talking about my
No, please.
A lot of my musical interests and knowledge, like, weirdly intersect with Reefer Madness.
Yeah.
Like, I really love The Wedding Singer. And part of the reason I really love The Wedding Singer is because Amy Spanger is in Reefer Madness. And I was like, what else has she done?
Yeah.
And she was Holly in The Wedding Singer.
I love that.
The reason that I got into Heathers is I was like, I love Reefer Madness. And then at the time that I was getting really into Reefer Madness, Kevin Murphy, who wrote it, was writing Heathers with Lawrence O'Keefe. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, Kevin Murphy is working on a new musical. And so I started like looking up Heathers and finding like videos of Annalee Ashford singing Candy Store at Joe's Pub. Just like, and in the months leading up to a premiering was like following the production because I had enjoyed Reefer Madness so much. Hey.
Look at you.
Look at me.
I love that. Reefer Madness is really good. I've seen it. You showed it to me during college and I really, really, really enjoyed it.
Ugh, it's so fun. Well,
and now I know what Reefer is, so it's funny to me now. Oh my God. The mortuary that we use just sent me a text. And they said, we're thinking about you today.
That's nice. Wait, that's very sweet.
Yeah, it is nice. They sent me a text on his birthday too. Isn't that nice?
That's so nice.
I know. Even if it's automated, I do appreciate it.
No, that's really lovely.
Yeah.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Let's read an email.
Let's do it. Up first, let's hear from Ryan.
Booyah! Hi guys, here's my thank you message / story of me listening to you. It was 2021. I was scrolling through TikTok and landed on a video of you discussing Kurt Blaine and the Dalton boarding school / not boarding school debate. I was like, okay, I gotta check this out. However, I had literally never listened to a podcast once in my life. I genuinely didn't know how to. I was an idiot and assumed you were supposed to consume podcasts like TV, where you literally just sit and listen. So I listened to your first episode simply laying in bed and staring at the ceiling. I believe I did the same for the second episode. And then it occurred to me that I can do things while listening, just like listening to music. Lucky for me, I had just landed a summer job as a maintenance worker / greenskeeper at a resort village and would be spending up to 8 hours a day either on a lawnmower, mowing the golf course, or doing other tasks alone as such. I was recommended to get noise-canceling Bluetooth headphones for using the heavy-duty equipment. Great! I had literally hours every day to catch up to you guys. You were the only podcast I listened to, and it didn't take me long to catch up. Now when y'all talk about the audio quality of early episodes... Yeah. Try listening to them while sitting on a 12-foot wide ride-on mower with a loud, massive engine literally 2 feet behind your head. I had my volume completely up and would still struggle. Much love, Lena, but most of your words were completely lost on me. I couldn't even consume the episodes in full, but kept listening anyway. The problem was, once I caught up, I had nothing to binge listen to. So I tried to find other podcasts, and once again through TikTok, saw Trixie and Katya. I was familiar with Drag Race, but had not seen any of their seasons and didn't know these queens, only that they were funny. Of course, this led to my Trixie and Katya obsession, which was a quick pipeline to my Drag Race obsession. So in a coincidental domino effect of that job and your podcast, I am a Drag Race fan. I have graduated from listening to y'all on that mower to now listening at the gym or on the bus. Another thing you've added into my life is that every night when I journal about my day, I do best part, worst part of my day, except I do worst part, best part, so I can end on a good thought. Finally, my moment of this whole thing is when you read my email about those goddamn fake pianos in the get back scene in Niata. I literally had that email drafted months in advance, because from the moment I watched that episode, those pianos drove me crazy. Okay, I think that's all. Much love, Ryan, he, him, from Canada.
International listener!
Man, I haven't thought about a sittable lawnmower in a minute. Early listeners will know how much I love a sittable lawnmower, even though I've never had one. But I want one so bad.
It's your dream.
It is my dream. It is my dream.
I really, this is so stupid of me to say, but sometimes I am like, it would be nice to have a job where I could listen to podcasts all day long, because I do. I love a podcast. I love a sit. I love a sit and listen. And I'm glad that, Ryan, we could be that for you, baby.
Yeah. There is, honestly, to speak to that, there is something so luxurious about, like, going from, like, you know, a really hands-on job where maybe you're talking to people all day, or, you know, especially in my experience, like, working retail or, like, working with people all day long, to, like, working in, like, more, like, a more solitude thing where you can listen to podcasts and audiobooks and music and chill out. Oh, my God, it's heaven.
Yeah.
Groundskeeping, though, that's hard-ass work. Shout out to you, Ryan.
I do want to say this podcast also was a pipeline for me to get into Drag Race. But so we are united on that. What's up, Ryan?
Yeah.
But mostly I want to say, have y'all seen Coco Montrese on Give It to Me Straight?
Yes. Yes. So, she's like, I want to fuck Trixie so bad.
Literally, what is going on with that? I have watched it so many times. It's so crazy. And then did you see what she posted on Instagram?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to fill everyone in. So, Maddie Morphosis from season 14 of Drag Race, who is the only, at this point, heterosexual queen to be on the show. Love her. Big fan of hers. She has a podcast called Give It to Me Straight. Get it? Because she's straight. Where she has other queens podcast. On. And I remember when Maddie Morphosis was on Drag Race. It was right when I moved to the city, and I wasn't watching yet, but my roommate did. So I would like hear discussion about it. And people were talking smack about her and talking about, like, this straight man invading queer spaces, and this is cultural appropriation, and blah, 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 blah. Which I understand where that was coming from, because, like, historically, yes, like, straight people do invade queer spaces. But Maddie has always been very respectful and very, like, she purposely never talked about her sexuality on the show. Literally, RuPaul outed her. Was like, so Maddie, how does it feel to be the first straight queen on the show? She just, like, loves doing drag. But I have loved, in the years since, people coming around and seeing, like, no, she really has her heart in the right place, and she really is, about amplifying queer voices. Like, yes, she loves drag, but uses any fame that she gets from drag to lift up queer voices and to center queer voices. And, like, her entire podcast is, yes, like, she's a very funny host, but it's about, like, getting queens on the podcast and having them talk about their stories and their experience as a queer person. It's very good. But she had Coco Montrese on. And they're just chatting. They're chatting about Drag Race, or chatting about their lives. Coco Montrese, unprompted.
Out of the blue.
Literally, it has nothing to do with what they're talking about. Goes, man, I want to fuck Trixie so bad. And Maddie is so caught off guard that she goes, what? And Coco doubles down. I want to fuck Trixie so bad. And that has haunted me. It's so crazy. Then.
What?
She triples down on Instagram. I think, like, that clip got posted. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Coco Montrese comments on the clip. And says, We did a live singing show together once, and she sat on that stool and played the guitar, and all I could think about was just giving her the business right then and there. It was so random. I know. What is happening?
Not the business. And that's just a comment on the video.
It is insane.
Man, I want to fuck Trixie so bad. You know what? That's how I talk with my friends, so I really do appreciate shit like that.
And what makes it funny is...
What?
I love Coco Montrese. She's very talented. She is also like... She's also like the middle-aged aunt of the Drag Race fandom, you know? Like, she's the one that all of her Instagram posts are so obviously so heavily filtered. And she thinks no one can tell, but it's like, girl.
Like, look how orange you fucking look.
Like, you went to hell and back on Facetune with this picture. And everyone, it doesn't even look like her anymore.
I know. It's very your great aunt. Yes. Like, on Instagram. It's awesome. I love Coco Montrese. I have a lot of love for her.
Man, I want to fuck Trixie so bad. What?
What? My favorite thing about that video, too, is usually, like, Maddie will put a clip of a song that, like, correlates to whatever the person said.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no music. It just cuts to the title card in silence. It's so funny.
And that's called manifestation. That's the secret.
Oh, yeah.
That's the secret. I mean, she's putting it out into the universe. She heard that she was single and she said, I'm going to shoot my shot and give it to me straight. Oh, my word.
I wonder if Tracy's seen it. Oh, my God, probably.
It makes me.
God. God, I want to fuck Trixie so bad. I love that. I love that so fucking much. Like, I love people like that.
Woo! So, Ryan, if you didn't know, now you know. Glad to have you listening and glad to have you at the Drag Race Freedom as well. Yeah. You're not watching 17 yet, correct?
I'm not, but I will.
Okay.
I just don't have a way to watch it at the present moment.
Fair. Well, I'll keep my thoughts to myself, but it's very good.
Mm-hmm. I've seen very, clips very good. Because every time I go over to a friend's house, they're like, okay, let me show you this. Let me show you the roast and how terrible the roast is, but it's sad.
No, it's very good and it's incredibly messy, which I am really
love.
Enjoying. Which I'm really, really enjoying.
I love messy.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Call me Marie Kondo. I love mess. All right. Well, thank you, Ryan, for this email.
Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. And I'm glad to have you listening. Yeah. And honestly, I totally get that. Honestly, when I didn't really get how like podcasts work for a long time. And I was like, what do people do? But unlocking that you can like do other things while you listen to podcasts or audiobooks or anything like that. I love that. And I love that we were on this journey with you. And thank you for being here. And thank you for sharing what you shared. All right. Up next, let's hear from Molly.
This is the Canadian episode. Hi, Lena and Ian. This is Molly Sheher from Canada.
International listener.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Canada.
I love you, Canada.
I don't know it after that. I'm sorry, everyone.
I always make the Canadian song.
The Genovia song,
Genovia
of course.
Song.
The land I call my home.
Genovia. Forever will your banner wave.
Exactly. And I do the same thing. Yeah.
Of course, we're the same.
I just finished listening to your final Gleewind, so get ready for my extensive heartfelt thoughts on what this podcast meant to me. I found this podcast way back in December 2020, and I've been listening almost perfectly consistently ever since. I spent my entire 2020 summer watching Glee for the first time at the ripe age of 18 going on 19, and I really credit Glee and this podcast for shaping me in those formative years into who I am today. That summer was the first time I started to seriously reckon with my sexuality, Diva Me Too. The show and the community around it showed me a diversity of ways of being queer and discovering yourself and being true to yourself and the beauty of wholeheartedly loving something. After finishing the show, I immediately needed to get my hands on more content. So I listened to all of Showmance, and then when I'd caught up with that and they'd stopped making episodes, I found you guys. I remember being in the backseat of my family minivan, going on a COVID-era family walk, listening to one of the first episodes of the podcast in my headphones, and my family was getting annoyed that I was laughing so loud, I couldn't contain it. You guys carried me through my first year of university online, my semester abroad where I landed in Copenhagen in February 2022 at the same time as you guys and Rachel Berry moving to New York. I graduated uni in May 2023, Undergrads are only 3 years in this province. It's confusing. When we were watching season 6 and feeling reflective and nostalgic, I adjusted to adult lives as you guys were making your way in new places and new jobs. And now, as this era of the podcast has been closing out, I've been going through my first year of law school, entering a new chapter of my life. I feel like every momentous occasion of the past 5 years has been mirrored by something going on with the podcast. Hearing your familiar voices, your joy and passion at talking about this thing you love so much has been a constant grounding presence through it all. I've gone through 3 comings out since watching Glee, straight to bi to gay to bi. And hearing you guys talk about your own sexualities was invaluable for my ability to understand how I was feeling. Especially Ian, it might not have seemed like much, but hearing you discover your own sexuality live on air and get more and more comfortable talking about it openly was so important for me. I can't thank you enough for that. Outside of that, I can't imagine how crazy it must feel to be vulnerable on the internet, but I appreciate it so, so much. Hearing regular people just like me having big feelings is just so moving and powerful and comforting and special. I can't help but feel special for being one of the OG-est listeners who is still keeping up. The first time you read one of my emails on the podcast, sorting the characters into Harry Potter houses, it made my entire week. I don't think I emailed or commented as much as other people, but I was always there, talking about you guys to my friends, and looking forward to my commute to school every Wednesday and Monday, even through your Glee Project era. When I get to hear your voices, my parasocial friends yapping about my favorite topic, the hit Fox TV show Glee, I think the only episode I ever consciously skipped was The Grinch. Anyway, I couldn't let this podcast end without letting you know how special it was for me. I can't thank you guys enough for creating and keeping up this amazing, silly little project. I can't describe the amount of comfort and joy it brought me. I'm now 23, and when I look back at the last 5 years, they wouldn't have been the same without you and this podcast in it. Thank you so, so much. I wish you guys nothing but the best from here on out. I know it's been a tough journey. Ever so sincerely, Molly. And Molly, you better have gone back and listened to The Grinch because it's a good episode. Go back. You're missing out on a banger. That's where Thorn Storm came from.
Yeah. Oh my God, it is.
Come on. That's Joe Bobolingo Core. Go back to The Grinch.
Joe Bobolingo Core. That's really funny. Oh, this email is really, it's really special.
This email is very, very lovely. Being vulnerable on the internet is actually so scary. It's terrifying and awful. But in the long run, obviously, like, you guys be smart. Every time I say something, I'm like, I don't want some impressionable young listener to take this the wrong way. Like, be careful what you share about yourself on the internet, everyone.
Oh my God, of course. Yes.
But in like terms of this podcast, especially in early days, I was hyper conscious of what I said and didn't say on the air.
Of course.
And I still obviously try to be smart about like not sharing private information that like shouldn't be other people's business. But as I have just gotten more authentic and not like worried so much about like, what are people going to think about me or what will this mean? Or what if someone that knew me 10 years ago listens and like makes some assumption? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
One, it's just more fun and easier to talk, but mostly it's nice to hear from people like you, Molly.
Yes.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, I talk about this all the time that like I'm sick hearing about it, but I just have a lot of complicated feelings about how long it took me to come out.
Of course.
And like the years of my life that are like forever lost because of it. But it is like the silver lining is any way that I am able to be a comfort to someone else who's going through a similar thing. So the fact that like we could be coming out around the same time and figuring stuff out at the same time is like a silver lining that means that something good came out of me.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Me waiting forever.
But I'm glad you did. And I mean, even from my perspective, you've helped me so much. And I feel like Oh my God. Well, I mean, in every way, but I totally agree. I think the more authentic that I feel like I can be on the podcast, the more I feel like I can, you know, reach people that want to like hang with us mm-hmm. and also like, you know, help others in turn. And like, that's amazing. That's amazing. And the fact that it's through this silly podcast and this silly TV show, like that's such a beautiful thing. And I'm so glad to have even a small impact. And I'm so glad that we've had the opportunity to do that. I think that's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Molly, this message is so lovely. And yeah, seriously, thank you so much for it.
Thank you. Also, I know you were like, I haven't commented as much as other people. I do recognize your name as yeah. in, I won't say your personal info on this podcast, but when I see your email address,
I'm see like, your name.
I know who
yes.
this is.
I know who you are. Yes, 100%.
And I do totally also that remember too. That first email. I was thinking about yes. it weirdly like a few days ago.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I totally get that feeling too. I feel like, you know, obviously, I mean, I'm literally talking on a podcast and people are listening to it, but I also like, I feel like I'm not a loud fan sometimes. So I'm like, oh, people don't notice that. Like, no, but we totally notice. Mm-hmm. We totally notice you guys and we see you.
Yeah.
We're so glad that you're here.
Yeah.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Let's hear from Emma, shall we?
Hello, LPC and Ian. For the next hangout, if y'all have time, I would love to hear your thoughts on last night's Tribal Council in Survivor. I felt like I couldn't completely enjoy it as my situationship decided to send a text ending things right as Mary was playing her shot in the dark. Busy One by Sabrina Carpenter just became my song of the year. I would love to hear about your experiences watching it and your thoughts with how it played out. Your podcast is genuinely a comfort listen for me, and I cannot wait to hear what y'all decide to cover next. I will listen to whatever y'all put out. I'm secretly hoping for a Survivor/reality TV podcast one day, as I live for those segments of the pod. Emma, she, her. Emma, first and foremost, sorry that happened. That sucks.
Yeah, we've been there.
And that would have ruined the episode for me, and then it would have ruined yeah. the rest of my week and my month. So I'm really sorry that happened.
But then Busy Woman will always have you. I love that song. And I feel like every time I've recently dabbled into online dating and I listen to that song and I feel empowered and I'm like, hey, fuck these people who don't want me. I don't care.
Maybe I should listen to that song because I've recently online dating. And let me tell you, it's made me feel more shit about myself than anything has in a long time.
And I understand.
It's really
awful.
It's really awful.
I totally understand.
So maybe I should hit that song up.
It's really good. But if you need my love, I'm coming, my gloves are off. I'm coming up with see you, please. Okay.
All right. Survivor. Spoilers for not tonight's episode. We haven't watched it yet. Famously, it hasn't aired. Last week's episode. Mm-hmm. Lena, oh my you God. Want to go first?
Sure. I mean, okay. So, obviously, we had... What's the name of that tribe? The Green Tribe.
Vula.
I love Mary. And what's her name? Say?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mary and Say, they are so fucking funny to me. I love them chasing each other around. Like, say, chasing Mary around. I just think that is so... And honestly, the way they talked about each other, too. When Mary is like... Honestly, I love this. Like, I'm having such a good time and I'm so glad that we're playing so hard and we're like, I just loved that. And I think that was such a fun thing to include in the episode. Cause I mean, it could, I don't know. I just think there's such like a, you know, an odd couple and like they butt heads so crazy and it just makes me laugh every time. And I love an underdog and I love when things work out in a fun way. So Mary did her shot in the dark. What's his face? Didn't even have a vote. How did you feel about that? I mean, God knows everyone keeps losing their votes. Yeah, so I'm sure.
So The dynamics of the last episode were Justin, pizza guy.
Yeah, pizza guy.
He went on a journey and I did not like the journey. So usually when you go on a journey, there's like a game you can play.
Yeah.
And you gamble your vote to play the game. So it's like, if you play the game and you lose your vote. If you play the game and you win, you keep your vote and you will also get some sort of advantage. But usually you can decide if you want to play or not.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. This time you could not decide. You were picked to go on the journey. You didn't volunteer. And then you showed up and they said, you don't have a vote. Now you have to literally, in the words of Bianca, it was literally dice. Like you just had to roll dice and whatever dice you rolled determined if you had a vote or not. And I think that's dumb as hell. And I'm mad about it.
Yeah.
So I'm pissed that happened, but it is what it is. So going into tribal council, they're down to four people on their tribe. Justin already does not have a vote. So only three people are voting.
And he's not sharing
anyone he doesn't have a vote. And Mary Zhang, I think is her last name. I didn't look it up, but I think that's what
Mother
it is.
Mother alert. Yeah.
Literally has been my favorite since the preseason interviews when they were asked to share a fun fact about themselves. And she said, all of my music I got from YouTube to MP3 converters.
Oh my God. I can relate.
I love you, Mary. She's my favorite on the season. I'm just giving a Survivor history lesson. So the very first tribal council, that tribe went to tribal council and was one of the people that they had talked about voting out.
Yes.
And Mary had conversations with the rest of the tribe where they said, we're probably going to vote out Say. The rest of the tribe changed their mind, but never told Mary. So what ended up happening is someone else got out. Everyone voted for that person but Mary. So Say, since that day, has been like, I don't trust Mary. She's out to get me. Not knowing that everyone else had talked about voting for her too. Mary was just the only one that got caught. So she and Mary have been enemies since. So now it's at a point where there's four people left in the tribe. It's like Say and all her buddies and Mary.
Yes.
And Mary is like, I'm certainly going home tonight unless I get lucky. So Mary plays mind games on the rest of the tribe. Mm-hmm. And
which I love.
She first tries to find an idol, which is what you were talking about, where Mary just like unashamedly starts running around the island. And then Say unashamedly just starts full tilt chasing her around the island.
And I loved her yelling at everyone else, like, you have to babysit her. We cannot let her out of she's running.
Seriously. It's so good. But Mary doesn't find the idol, but it's like, I'm backed against a corner. I have to do something. So then she just randomly starts acting super calm.
I love that.
And Say keeps being like, what's going on with you? Why are you so calm? And Mary keeps going, well, you know, when it's your time to go, it's your time to go. And then in interviews, she's like, I didn't find the idol, but I figured if I act calm, I can freak the rest of them out. And then it goes to interviews with Say, and Say is like, I know she has the idol, because why is she so calm? Like, I'm obsessed with it. It was so funny.
I loved it.
So Mary goes to tribal council. She does not have the idol.
Yeah.
She decides to play her shot in the dark. For those who don't know, Shot in the Dark is an advantage that everyone has, but you can only play it once in the entire game. And it gives you by playing the Shot in the Dark, you are giving up your vote for the night. And it gives you a 1 in 6 chance of safety. So you play your Shot in the Dark, you pull a piece of paper out of a bag of 6 pieces of paper. And then you give it to Jeff, and Jeff opens it, and 5 of them say not safe, and 1 of them says safe. Shot in the Dark has been on the show now for 8 seasons. In the history of those 8 seasons, only one time has it ever actually saved someone from going home.
Yes.
Last week, Mary drew her Shot in the Dark. Mm-hmm. It said safe. And one of my castmates that I was watching it with literally held hands and were jumping up and down. We were so
excited.
So one of the people in the tribe doesn't have a vote. Mary doesn't have a vote. The other two people who do have votes vote for Mary, and Mary's vote doesn't count. Mm-hmm. So now they have to do a revote. And but now, Say votes for Pizza Man who doesn't have a vote, and her ally votes for Say. And now they have a second revote, and Say votes for Pizza Man who doesn't have a vote, and her ally votes for Say again.
Yeah.
And what it ends up coming down to...
What did they think was going to happen, too?
It's crazy. What it comes down to is Say's ally, Cedric, because of the rules of Survivor, it's a lot to, like, explain. But basically what it comes down to is Cedric, not Pizza Guy, Cedric, it is fully in his hands that he needs to decide between Say and Pizza Guy, and whichever person he chooses will go home.
Yeah. Because they can't do rocks because there's not enough people, because it would just be Cedric going home.
Yeah. And so he ultimately, despite the fact that he voted for Say twice to go home, kicks out Pizza Guy, which means that for the first time in 48 seasons, Cedric becomes the first player to vote for every single member of his tribe in a single tribal council.
Single
he voted
night.
For Mary, he voted for Say twice.
It was awesome.
And then ultimately kicked off Justin. Craziness.
Honestly, it was really fun. It was, I know it was like a lot of like Survivor rules coming to a head and like giving them trouble, but I did enjoy the conversation and I was excited about how it ended as well. I really didn't want to see Say go home.
It was my ideal outcome.
And I do think, I agree. And I do think like Justin not telling them he didn't have a vote, to me, if I was voting, I'd be like, well, why didn't you tell me? Mm-hmm. You're gone. Bye. Yeah. You know what I mean? Of course, obviously, things are more complicated than that, but I was like, he didn't trust his tribe enough, and he literally didn't trust Cedric enough to, like, with that information. I mean, who knows what I would have done in that situation, but
yeah,
I think it was so fun. And then I loved Cedric being like, okay, well, you two have to stop fighting, and then both of them being like, we'll stop, we're a team now. I just loved that so much, like, sitting down his daughters being like, stop fighting, none of this.
I'm really hoping that Say is burned by Cedric now, because Cedric tried to vote her off twice.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And she now can be like, maybe I should let go of this weird grudge I have against Mary for voting for me once. Yeah. And instead I'll hold a grudge against the guy who just voted for me twice. And then Say and Mary team up. And that would be my favorite thing to ever happen.
I know, I agree. I mean, I did see a spoiler on the new tribes.
Yeah.
So I know they're not together, but I really wanted them to like end up on a team. I just want them to be, I don't know, them, and especially the Mary's attitude about Say like chasing her around. I was like, that is the start of a beautiful friendship and alliance. I was like, you respect her and you respect her game so much. Befriend her.
Literally,
would be unstoppable
when they're in tribal council and Jeff is talking to them and Say is like, no, I love Mary. I respect the way she plays this game so much. I just think we both understand that we could never work together. And I'm literally like, why? It's because she
lay down your arms, please.
She voted for you one time and you won't let it go. Yeah. But like, both of you respect each other's games. Both of you are playing so hard. Think of what you could do together.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Exactly.
Your future is. Honestly, if those two teamed up, I think they would be my number one.
I mean, Mary already is my number one.
I know, I love her.
She's been getting by the skin of her teeth every week.
I gotta respect my queen. Mother alert. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I loved it. It was so much fun. Especially them running around. That was my favorite part of the whole episode.
You also see in the preseason. Dalton Ross from Entertainment Weekly asked every member of the cast what their controversial Survivor opinion was. And Mary's was, I think the shot in the dark is kind of whack. And then
she's literally saved by it.
The reason she still
saw that, and he's like, I'm giving her a shot in the dark.
She posted it on her Instagram. She posted the picture of her holding the sign that says, I think the shot in the dark is kind of whack. And she wrote, sorry, it was my fault.
That's the thing I don't like about the shot in the dark is I do think it's mostly producer meddling. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, I can't see the chance of it.
Yeah. It feels like they're like, pick this one. Take this scroll.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. And it's just a chance for them to have the producers pick what happens next. And granted, sure, maybe they're picking like the most like interesting outcome to them. And I don't like necessarily hate that, but I definitely don't like that.
Yeah. This is the only time in the history of the game I've ever liked the shot in the dark.
Yeah.
Because even when it saved the last person it saved, which I'll leave it so it can be a surprise for anyone who wants to watch the season. When it saved that person, that was so cool. But then also they just went home the next week. So it was like, what was the point?
Yeah.
Whereas in this situation, it saved Mary and then there's a tribe swap tomorrow.
I know. So it's
so it literally is a new game and she could go deep in the game now.
I'm excited. I'm really enjoying this season.
I am too.
Really enjoying this season.
No, it was.
I just love Survivor.
It also, the challenge, there was a moment in the challenge when it looked like Vula was going to win, and then they ultimately didn't, of course. Mm-hmm. But that was another moment. I was literally on my knees punching the ground as if I was someone who likes sports and was watching a sports match. Yeah. I got really into it.
Yeah.
That episode rocked.
God, I love Survivor. I love Survivor so much. It just makes me. It makes me really happy, and I think it's a beautiful game.
Mm-hmm. It's the best. We all watch The Traitors together, and I love The Traitors. But I can't get them to watch Survivor with me, and I'm like, what are you not seeing here? You loved The Traitors. You will love this.
No, my book club is the same way. We were talking about Traitors last night, and I was like, you guys. We, like, of course there were no, like, survivors in the end, but I was like, we love
Mm-hmm. Like this, you were like, eating up Carolyn.
This vibe. Yes.
That she's from Survivor.
You have shit to say about Boston Rob. Let's go watch.
Yeah. Last season, everyone was talking about Parvati. She's from Survivor.
I know.
Everyone loves Suri Fields. She's from Survivor.
I know.
Gall.
I know.
Drives me crazy.
I know. And that's the thing too is. And while I do love that my normie friends are getting into reality game shows, like I'm like, you need to. Put your money where your mouth is and watch a season of Survivor.
And watch the OG. Watch the one that started it all. That's still the best one out there.
You need to pay your tithe to Jeff Probst already.
No, I'm enjoying the season a lot as well. And
Me too.
I want Mary to go far so badly.
Yeah.
I am also rooting just all of Loggy. I find really compelling. The Purple Tribe.
Yeah. Yes.
All for different reasons, but all six of them, I'm like, I'm really fascinated in all of you and your dynamics, and I want to see how far you go.
Yeah.
And I'm loving.
I'm definitely.
Thomas is giving old school reality TV villain, and I'm really up for it.
Which one is Thomas? I don't know their names yet.
Thomas is the gay guy on Loggy.
Oh, okay. Yes.
The one that Shaheen went up to him and was like, Star gave me the clue to her idol, but like, I don't really know if I want to help her find it. And Thomas goes, well, what if you just lose it?
I know, that was crazy.
When Bianca comes up to him and she's like, I need you to know I lost my vote. And then it goes to the interview and he's like, yeah. And Bianca came up to me and she was really honest with me and told me she lost her vote, which I really respected. Of course, I'm not being honest with her and I'm not telling her about the advantage that I found. I love that. It is so fun.
More villains on reality TV. Mm-hmm.
He's the right kind of villain where he is not saying anything personal about these people, but he is like, and I'm going to destroy your game so that I can win and I won't feel bad.
When he was like, let's lose it, I was like, girl, you're crazy.
That was his first idea too. As he's like, well, what if you just lose the clue? And then it cuts to an interview with Shaheen and he's like, so it's really concerned me that that was Thomas's first instinct.
I loved it. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Also, here's the game that I play. Sorry, the Survivor corner is going on forever. Every season of Survivor, I decide what man and what woman I have a crush on in that season.
I love that.
And what man and what woman do you have a crush on?
Oh, let me look at a picture of them.
Okay, I'll tell you right now. Mine is Mary. She's my woman that I have a crush on. My man I have a crush on is Shaheen.
Not Chad?
No.
Of course not. You hate Chad.
I don't like David. I like David more when in the last episode, David talked about how he's really self-conscious because he lives in a trailer on his dad's lawn. And he's like, I feel self-conscious that I can't support myself. I was like, okay, so this is actually the first time that I have liked you.
Shaheen is so handsome. Oh my God.
He's so good looking and he seems really nice and cool.
This cute shirt. I'm just looking at their Instagram right now. I was sad to see Stephanie go. Mm-hmm. I feel like I liked her. And Kevin. I also like Joe. Something about Joe.
Oh, Joe rules. He's like the greatest guy ever.
No, seriously. I think Joe is my crush, my boy crush.
A good pick.
I like Charity.
I like Charity a lot. Charity, yeah. I always try and decide in the premiere, me and my friends that I watch with, we'll talk about it in person. And then right now, since I'm not there, we have a text chain.
Yeah.
And the whole premiere, I was trying to decide who it was. And near the end, I was like, it is between Charity and Mary. And yeah. In the last few minutes, Mary clinched it for me.
Yeah. Charity's got American traditional tattoos, which I always think are sexy and cool. And I like her vibe. I really like her.
Yeah.
So that's my pick is Joe and Charity.
Heck yeah.
Ah, I love that. That makes my heart go aflame.
Survivor, baby.
Oh my God. Let us know who your Survivor crushes are.
Yeah.
Are they us?
Are they us for the season that we're going to be on?
Are they us?
everyone tune in. It's on tonight. 8 p.m. Eastern.
Oh my God. I'm excited. Put your money where your mouth is. Pay your tithes to Jeff Probst.
You like the Traitors. Tune in. You'll like Survivor. Tune in. All right.
Oh my God. If you like, oh my God. All my White Lotus friends. I'm like, you guys. We can't talk about White Lotus and not talk about Survivor. Like, they feel hand in hand to me.
Mike White was on Survivor.
I know.
There are Survivor. Literally, like that lady. Christian was in the most recent episode.
I know. I love Christian. The first David to be on an episode of White Lotus, I freaked out.
Oh, yeah. They've all been Goliath so far. Damn. Yeah. Okay, well, Mike White.
They're his like original tribe members, but
no.
I was so excited to see Christian.
Mike
I love
White,
him.
Who is the showrunner of White Lotus, was on season 37 of Survivor. David versus Goliath, and every season of White Lotus has had cameos from different castaways that were on his season from Survivor.
It's been so awesome. It's like my favorite part. Oh my God. One of my favorite quotes from like literally all of Survivor is Caden and I will always say, do you want to play with me? And then Christian goes, yeah, totally. Let's play. What do you want to play? And she's like, no, I mean the game like Survivor. Because it's Christian and like
it's Gabby.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Do you want to play with me? Yeah, sure. What do you want to play? I loved Christian. Oh my God.
The best.
Oh my God. Oh. That season two is so fucking good.
I always think of when they are trying to solve the puzzle to get the advantage, but they don't want anyone to catch them. And so Christian is like, Davey, can you do a distraction? And Davey stands on a rock and starts dancing.
And then everyone is like, wow, Davey, what are you doing? Like, it works.
That's like, that would be like in a sitcom. And like, that actually happened. It's so funny.
That season is so damn good. I always also say, Natalie, can I have your jacket?
Natalie. And she is like, she's so serious about it. She talks about, so Angelina Keeley.
She's like, I'm throwing this vote.
Angelina Keeley, who is in season two of White Lotus. She's one of the women that is talking to Megan Fahey before the dead body who washes ashore.
Yes.
She in Survivor. They were going to vote off
so
Natalie Cole, who is the black woman that Belinda sees in this season of White Lotus at the restaurant. It's her and Carl. Her tribe was going to vote off Natalie Cole, and Angelina knew. But Angelina, and she's so dead serious about it, is like, but Natalie has a windbreaker that I really want. And I'm scared that if I vote for her, she'll be mad at me and she won't give it to me. And she keeps talking in interviews that she's like, okay, so we have enough.
I'm throwing this
vote. She's like, we have enough votes on Natalie so that I can vote for someone else and get her windbreaker. And then she goes to Lyrsa and she's like, Lyrsa, I want you to know I'm going to vote for you tonight, but it's not because I want you to go home. It's because I want Natalie to give me her jacket. And then literally her voting confessional is her holding up Lyrsa's name and saying, I'm throwing this vote so that Natalie will give me her jacket. And then Natalie does not give her jacket, refuses to acknowledge her, and walks out as Angelina is going, Natalie, could I have your jacket? Natalie.
Natalie just turns and she doesn't even look at her. It's awesome.
Like, as they're reading Natalie's name, Angelina is acting.
She's like, what?
No way.
Natalie, no. Natalie, I'd never. Angelina, she is such a fucking icon to me. I need her back on my screen. On Survivor 50,
for real, I love Angelina.
Seriously.
She is an icon.
Or when she's like, Jeff, I'm prepared to throw this game if you give us rice, please. Like, she's just, I love her mind. Or I love you, Angelina.
When she talks about how she had to, she's describing like how they had to get the advantage. And she was like, we climbed this ladder. It was at least 100 feet tall. And it goes to Mike White's face and he's like, the ladder is fully like 10 feet, maybe.
Yeah. Like, Mike White is literally climbing it with a glass of wine in his hands. Like, they're fine. Honestly, that clip goes viral, I feel like, a lot. Because Mike White is so fucking funny on Survivor. And he, like, calls a tree a bitch. And he's like, these people are such fucking idiots. And he, like, finds the clue in a minute. He's, like, eating snacks and drinking wine the whole time he's looking for clues. And Angelina is running around.
I also think of there's a moment in that season where they're about to start a challenge and everyone is like teed up, ready to go. And Jeff is saying, ready, set, go. And the editors sneak in a clip where he goes, ready. And then it cuts to Angelina, and under her breath, she goes, yes. Get that off the time.
She is crazy. I love her. She honestly, she is the Rachel Berry of Survivor. I mean that.
You are so right. I love her so much.
I love her.
She's so funny.
My God. Do you want to play with me?
People always, on the Survivor subreddit, anytime that there's like any negotiation on the show or any talks of negotiating, people will always be like, well, things would have gone differently if they had brought in the key negotiator, and then have a picture of Angelina.
She's so beautiful to me. I love her so much. I love a woman who is like passionate and eager and excited and... I just love her.
She rules. She's so cool.
And she's such a good foil to Mike White as well, because Mike White is like, he's a really good Survivor player, but he also is so kind of lax. Like, he's like very in control and lax. And Angelina is the exact opposite. Oh my God, I love them so much. You guys gotta watch that season.
I'm throwing this vote because I want Natalie to give me her jacket.
Natalie.
And Natalie, I don't remember what she says, but Natalie in her exit interview says something like, I think
this is my jacket.
Yeah, she says something like, I think Angelina said something about wanting my jacket, but I don't know if she voted for me or not, so it's my jacket, I'm keeping it.
Yeah, literally. Oh my God. Oh, that season is so fun.
All right, that's Survivor Corner. Everyone watch Survivor. It's very good. It's very good.
All right, let's hear from final email of the day. Let's hear from Will.
Hi, Ian and Lena. Will he, they here. I just wanted to email in and share my appreciation for this podcast. It has been such a meaningful part of my life the past few years. I started listening when I was on my second year of university, and now I have just finished my thesis and will be graduating with a master's in computer science next month. Along the way, your podcast has brought me so much light and laughter. You two have some serious talent in podcasting. It is not easy to have spontaneous conversations recorded and have them make sense and be entertaining. You are both so smart with how you speak, and I have learned so much from you. And thank you for introducing me to more musicals. I freaking love Into the Woods now. I also want to take this time to confess something. A few years ago, you said something on the podcast that I took as you saying that you two had once dated. I was shocked by that revelation, and then for months I just thought you two were exes. A few months later, I started to doubt my conclusion, and when re-listening to the podcast, I never heard that part again. To this day, I have no idea how I came to this conclusion. It might have been a bit that I took seriously. I hold this podcast so near and dear to my heart and will cherish it forever, and I will be eagerly watching along and listening to whatever you do next. Thank you for everything, Will. So, Will, this actually kind of has to do with what Molly was talking about when I was talking about how in the early days of the podcast, I was like really conscious of what we put in the podcast. Mm-hmm. You are correct. Lena and I did date, and we actually talked about it in one of the, I think it's called, I think it's like Road's Not Taken or something that we brought it up. And then I got really nervous about it.
I was like, I don't know if I want people to know that. And so we went and we re-edited the episode. It was like a long, like we literally shaved like 25 minutes off. We like really got into the weeds, talked about our relationship.
We had about, some stuff to talk about. It
was kind
some
of
things
like
we had never talked about before.
Like confessions came to light. It was like really intense.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, we had a discussion and we were like, that maybe was too much, like that doesn't feel appropriate to have out on the internet. So I re-edited the episode, re-uploaded it, and it has been taken out.
We have not dated.
No, we are not. But I love that you thought that we did.
I know. I love that too. Honestly, the more, like, that makes me excited that people think that.
I mean, let's get that rumor going, please. I'm obsessed with
that. I know. We tried to start the rumor that we hooked up once.
And that's not a rumor, baby.
That's not a rumor.
That
we
happened.
Have.
Hey.
Yeah, we have not dated. Oh my gosh.
I'm obsessed with that though. That's so funny.
I know. Honestly, keep telling people though that we're two exes who now run a podcast together. That would be fun.
When we rebrand the podcast and we move on to our next thing, we're going to rebrand it to be like two like amicable exes talk about blank. Instead of two friends, it'll be two amicable exes. And then, so like, you know, we'll hopefully be bringing in a new audience, maybe like people who didn't listen to Glee, but like do care about our next topic. And we will just start.
Like, don't tell.
Yeah, exactly. It'll just be a group. Like, originals will know it's a bit, but we'll act like it's not. And we'll just like reference our past relationship a lot.
Honestly, I want to do that. That would be really funny. I think that's funny to me.
I agree. That's honestly a great fit. Oh my gosh.
Amicable exes. Oh my God, that's so funny.
Wow. Well, Will, thank you for this email.
Yeah, it's really sweet. I'm so glad.
I'm very, very flattered by you saying that we're very smart with how we speak. Goodness sakes.
Yeah. Honestly, you saying that, I'm like, you're lying. No way.
You're like, and also especially with like, and I mean, you sent this. No, you didn't. You sent this literally today. I was going to say you sent this a while ago. You sent it today. But especially with these hangout episodes, because at least when we were watching Glee, it was like, well, we'll talk about the episode. But sometimes with hangout episodes, I am like, do we have anything to say? We start recording and I'm like, and hopefully we stumble on something of interest. And then we talk about David versus Goliath for 25 minutes and here we are.
Oh my God. Well, I could talk about her for hours.
Yeah. So
talk about our past relationship.
Yeah, we can also talk about our past relationship for a while. Yeah. But I'm glad to hear that it's entertaining. And also congrats on your master's in computer science.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's
oh my
so
God.
Exciting. And if you liked Into the Woods, you know what else you like? Reefer Madness. I don't know if you will. They are vastly different
Very
shows.
Different.
They are drastically different. But
if you like Ian's humor, if you like Ian's humor.
If you like Heather's, though.
Yeah.
Because
you'll love it.
It's not Lawrence O'Keefe, but it is the same vibe as Heather's because it's the same script writer. And also Kevin Murphy did help. Like he did have input, although it's mostly Lawrence O'Keefe. Mm-hmm. He did have input on the music. So it's got a lot of the similar vibes. So if you do like mm-hmm. Heather's the musical,
yeah,
I would suggest checking out Reefer Madness.
It's really
fun. It's very in that vein. It's so fun.
Yeah.
Oh, love that show.
Well, thank you for this email. I really appreciate it. And just so you know, Ian, I broke up with Ian.
You. How rude.
You think that I wouldn't?
I was really determined to make it work.
I know, you were.
I said, you're my last shot at having a wife. And you said, I don't want to be someone's last shot. I want to be their first choice. And then you walked out.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah. I'm glad you remember.
I remember. I had that whole conversation memorized. I think about it all the time. It keeps me up at night.
It was raining.
Yeah. You said, want somebody, Ian. Not somebody.
Want somebody.
And then you walked out.
Mm-hmm.
That honestly,
and I said, "There's a time to
one of the great lines.
There's
in
a time
theater.
To come to New York, and there's a time to leave."
Damn.
No, seriously. Damn.
Damn. Wow.
Listen, we're amicable though. It's okay.
We're amicable exes. Don't worry. That's why we have a podcast.
That's why we have a podcast. Could you imagine? That makes me happy that people thought that.
Well, thank you for joining us on this lovely Wednesday. Hope you all have a great rest of your day. See you same time, same place next week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'll miss you while you're gone, y'all.
Miss you while you're gone.
I hope you guys, what?
Oh, I was raising my eyebrows to signal me. Continue what you were saying, because we both started talking at the same time, and I was trying to be like, you go.
We'll miss you while you're gone. And also, I hope you enjoy Sunrise on the Reaping. I hope you enjoy Survivor tonight. I hope, you know, you find something to fill your Thursdays now that Triggers isn't on. I hope you keep it real, y'all. I love you guys. Here is a hangout kiss on your hangout forehead. And thank you so much for being here while we set up what's going on next.
Yeah, watch this space. Will be excited. Watch socials.
We're going to have some fun. Yeah. We're going to get, I don't know, more fun, worse.
Hey.
I was gonna drop an Easter egg, but I'm not gonna. Here is a hangout kiss on your hangout forehead.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.